Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning, and welcome to the Lackawanna Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. And this will be the last Coaches Show for the rest of this year. So tune in again in 2024. We're going to start things off talking to Hank Ireland on wrestling. And Hank, you were up in the Rumble on the Red River up in Fargo, where they had it in the football complex, where there's over 20 mats going on at one time. So I don't know, you could probably tell us how many teams are up there, but it was tremendous amount of teams and wrestlers going on at the same time, and Team United ended up with four placers and one champion and in 10th place of the teams. So fire away there, guy. Great job by Team United.
Yeah, thanks. I think there were 67 teams there from three different states, so that was a very, very tough and very big tournament. They put 22 mats in the Fargo Dome, so it's kind of a unique atmosphere, and the kids, kind of nice for them to go down on the football field and see a wrestling mat out there. So, yeah, it's very unique and very tough tournament, and there's each weight bracket, like, there's 60, usually about 40 kids in each weight bracket, and like you see kids that are state champs from different states go up against the state entrants and state placers. So it's each round and each match is you're going against someone that is a very high quality wrestler.
For sure, yes.
Well, yeah, I can run through some of the results here. There's a lot of wrestling going on. I think before we got on, you said we had 50 some varsity matches and even more JV matches. So we were running around quite a bit. I think on Thursday we got in at 6:30 in the morning and we didn't leave till 10 at night, so it was a long day for the kids. And between me and Kenny and Sam Hendrickson and Luke Bothan and Mike Coyle, we were pretty busy, but we got some help from a few parents to help us out too, so that was nice of them. Sam Gunnickson and Brad Peterson was down there helping us out, and Kyle Kranz was down there, and Chad Listel was also helping us out, so it was nice of some of those parents to come down and help us out, because I mean, you got 22 mats on a football field. You might have two going on this end, two others going on that end. It was a busy day for us, but great day for wrestling. As far as the varsity side, Eli Olson wrestled 107 for us, and he ended up going, he lost his first round match, so he kind of put him in the wrestle backs, and once you get in those wrestle backs in such a big bracket, you really got to wrestle your way back to fight all the way through to place, and that's exactly what Eli did. He ended up winning four in a row in the wrestle back round, and then ended up getting sixth place. He was 4-2 on the day, and sixth place in that big of a tournament is awesome job by Eli. Ended up getting a few pinfalls too, so that was a great day and great job for Eli placing sixth. And then we were open. We had a few sick guys. Gavin Mortensen was one of the kids that was sick this week and couldn't make that tournament, so we didn't have anyone at 114. Tygan Long wrestled two tough matches and ended up going 0-2 on the day. And that's just how it goes. You know, it's tough, so tough to bracket this kind of tournament because you don't know who's who and you don't know how good certain kids are, so you kind of get thrown in and kind of get Tygan kind of got a tough draw and had two tough kids right away, but wrestled hard. 127, Ben Gunnickson. He won by a pinfall on his first two matches, and then he ran into a tough kid from DGF, lost a close one there, and then in the consolation fourth round, the blood rounds, is one match away from placing, and he ended up losing a one-point match there. So Ben went 2-2 on the day and wrestled some tough matches. Adrian Norman wrestled 133 for us, and he lost his first one, then he won his second one in a tight match, and then he lost his third one, so he was 1-2 on the day, but that was good. Adrian wrestled well all day, you know, wrestled smart, stayed in good positioning. It was good to see Adrian get a win down there. Grace Nolson, you know, is another tight spot. You know, you get some two tough guys right off the bat. Ended up losing two close ones, but ended up going 0-2. But like I said, another way for him to grow and get used to wrestling some real tough competition and get some experience down there. So good for him. Holland Shocker won his first match by a pinfall over a Jackson County Central kid. So you know those guys are tough. Right. So it was a good win for Holland. And then he had he got pinned in his second round match, and then he lost a tight one to a Pine Island wrestler in his consolation round two. So he ended up going 1-2 on the day. Good hard matches for him. And then at 139, Dan Gunnlaugsson won a 6-2 decision his first round match. So that was a tight match. Like we told him, like each round is going to be tough. I believe Dan said 2 years ago when he got second, every single guy he wrestled throughout the whole tournament was a state entrant that year. So you're going to wrestle tough guys the whole way, and Dan knew that going into it. Wrestled smart his first round match and won a close one, and then his second round match he won 7-0. And then in the quarterfinals he got a pinfall, and then in the semis he won a 5-1 decision over a highly state ranked Nate Nelson from Mora. So those two might see each other in the state tournament later down the road. Now good for Dan to get a win,
right?
A 5-1 decision. And then in the championship round, Dan wrestled a heck of a smart match. And he got a takedown in the second period, and that was pretty much the decision of the match. He won 3-2 over Nick Strand from Bemidji. So yeah, Dan was the champion of the Rumble on the Red at 139, and I believe he was our first United wrestler to ever win this tournament. This is a great accomplishment for him after getting second 2 years ago, and he's off to a 20-0 start for the year. Wow. Before the new year, so wow. That's a pretty impressive record.
And you mentioned last week that of those 20 mats on the floor of the Bison football field, one mat is elevated, and it sounded like the championship match was kind of put on that particular mat because he wrestled on that.
Yep, and that's kind of highlighted, so it's kind of elevated so everyone can see it. It's pretty,
right.
Pretty cool atmosphere, and I'm glad he got to experience that again and get out of there with the win.
Yeah, congratulations there, that's for sure.
Then Cameron Sather was at 152. He won his first one by a 6-1 decision, then he won by a pinfall in his second match. Then he ran into a tough Eden Prairie kid, ended up losing 12-2 in the quarterfinals. And then he had a quick turnaround in the consolation rounds and lost another 8-0 match, so he was eliminated in the blood rounds one match before the placing one. So he went 2-2 on the day, and some good matches, good tough ones for him. At 160, Mason Peterson won his first round match by a pinfall in the second period, and then he ended up losing his next two. So Mason went 1-2 on the day. It was good to see Mason get a win, though. That's
right.
A tough tournament. Then Noah Meyer wrestled a kid from Custer. And lost by a pinfall in the first round, and then Noah came back to win I ended up wrestling a kid from Moorhead and got a pinfall in the second period to stay alive, and then he lost to a Jackson County Central kid by a 7-0 decision. So, like I said, same thing with Mason. Noah, good to see him get a win there and wrestle three tough matches. Then 189, Parker Boffin. I was proud of him making 189. He's been cutting down for weeks and weeks and weeks, and was able to finally make the last bit of his cut and made 189, and he wrestled his first round match. He wrestled and won a 8-0 decision, and then he ran into some tough kids. You know, there's each round's tough, and he ended up losing his next two. I think he was kind of disappointed in himself, but you got to remember, this is every round is tough, and you just got to take it match by match and just wrestle hard, and that's what he did. So he good to see him get a win, though. Then Landon Olson, he had the number one seed right away, right off the bat. He ended up getting pinned in the first period. But then if you lose that first round match, you really got to wrestle a lot of matches to come back in place. And he ended up winning his next three. Won a 3-2 decision, then he won by a pinfall, then he won an overtime. So he had two real tight ones, and then he got a pinfall. those are the matches that really you learn a lot about yourself during those tight matches, and it's good to see him get those two, win those two close ones. And then in the fourth round, he was one match away from placing, and he ended up losing one of the close ones that time, a 6-2 decision. So great to see Landon out there and looking good and having some good matches. Then we had Zach DeBeer. Another one that lost his first round match, a 1-0 decision. So that was a real close one, and then he ended up wrestling 7 matches on the day. He had to really come back and fight through the wrestle back rounds. He got a pinfall in the first round of consolation, and he got a pinfall in the second round, and he got a pinfall in the third round. So he's really pinning his way through that consolation round. And then the blood round, the round that determines if you place or not, he won a 3-1 decision. Really smart match by Zach, and good to see him just really starting to get into the form that we know that he can do, and good win for him there in that blood round to guarantee that you're placing. And then he ended up losing the next round, so he went to the 7th and 8th placer match, and he won a close one there, a 6-4 decision, and Zach placed 7th, so that was an awesome tournament for him. Placing in this tournament is never easy, and he took the hard route to there going through the wrestle background, so a good tournament for him. Then our heavyweight, Brady Rohde, won his first 2 rounds by pinfall. Then he actually won his first 3 quarterfinal match against a Bemidji wrestler. He won by a pinfall in that one as well. Then he ran into a tough Bishop Ryan wrestler, and he was in a close match. It was tied up in the third almost, and then ended up getting pinned in the third period. After that semifinal match, his shoulder was kind of bugging him a little bit, so we just kind of shut it down for the rest of the day. Didn't need to force anything if his shoulder was bugging him a little, so he injury medical defaulted out of the rest of the tournament, ended up placing 6th. So good to see him placing, and you know, he's got high expectations for himself, and he's one that can step up and beat anyone out there, and rest the shoulder a little bit, he'll be just fine. He's the rock up top for us.
Oh yeah, and you are so strong up above the last 3 weight classes. They obviously had some teams that couldn't fill the 215 pound weight class. So you had two kids, one that placed and one that wrestled 5 matches. So very strong there, too.
Yep, that was very very good to see. We could have had 2 guys place, and that would have been, I don't know if many teams have 2 guys place in 1 weight class in this
right.
bracket. But.
So, overall, you ended up in 10th place, and place winners with a champion, and 2 6th place and a 7th place. That's a great achievement for your team.
Yep, we're happy to see that, and we're happy to see that we're only about 6 points away from 4th place. So
okay,
one or two matches goes our way, and we're up in 4th place, which is pretty amazing at that big of a tournament.
Well, Moundsfield won it with Shakopee in 2nd place, Albert Lee 3rd, Forest Lake in 4th, St. Francis, which would be a North Dakota team, was 5th, Staples Motley was 6th, Bemidji was 7th, Bismarck, North Dakota was 8th, Grand Rapids, Minnesota was half a point against you, and then Rapid City Stevens was about 3 or 4 points behind you, and then rounding out some other teams. I know Camby had some place winners, and they did okay up there as well. So good representation by Minnesota and the immediate area. New London Spicer had a heavyweight that placed 4th, I believe. So, yeah, a great job by local teams.
Yeah, and then the JV side of it, yep. Some of those brackets get up to about 80 kids in there. So, I mean, these brackets are tough on the JV side. So we kind of kept some of the kids that have wrestled varsity for us part-time. We kind of put them on the JV side because that's the varsity's tough. The JV side tough as well. So it was good to see them get a whole bunch of matches. And I tried to warn those kids, because we have a lot of seventh graders, and I tried to warn them, like, hey, you might go up against, like, a junior or a sophomore, but, like, it's going to be tough. But they stepped up to the challenge. Just about everyone won a match. Ivor Heinrich at 88 pounds, he won four matches that day, and he was one match away from placing, so that was a good day for him. Matthew Boffin got a win. Colin Rosendahl got a win. Griffin Johnson got a couple wins. Then at 114, Nelson Velazquez, he ended up winning the whole tournament on the JV side, so that's a huge accomplishment. We think 2 years ago when they were Ben Gummickson and Parker Boffin, those two won the tournament on the JV side as well, so it's not easy. You know, only it's a lot of work to win the JV side as well. I think Nelson won six matches to win the bracket at 114. Then Aiden Olson wrestled well. He went 3-2 on the day. He was one match away from the placing rounds. Jose Condano won a few matches. Jaden, he ended up getting seventh place in the 114 bracket, so that was a great day for him as well. David Torgerson won a few matches. Bentley Boffin went 4-2 on the day and just missed out on the placing. Alex Perez went 2-2. Brian Rohde went 3-2 and just missed out on placing. And yeah, and Tristan Nelson went 1-2. So it was great to see all those JV kids get good matches and get a few wins too in such a tough, tough JV tournament.
Good, good. So I guess you move on to 2024, and what's in store for you this up and coming week?
Yeah, it'll be nice to get kind of back on a normal schedule again, start with practice on Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday have another practice and get ready for Friday. Friday we head to Olivia, and we wrestle Bold and Red Rock Central.
Okay.
And I know their numbers are kind of down a little bit, but they got some tough wrestlers
in
Bold and Red Rock, so it'd be good to see some good matchups for some of the guys. And then right away again, we go back Saturday. And we head to Milbank for the border battle. And there we'll see Milbank, I think Sioux Falls, Washington, Sioux Falls, Jefferson, and Harrisburg. Harrisburg was one of our two losses last year, so I know the boys will be fired up to try to avenge that loss.
Right.
And they're tough again this year, so it's nice to go up to South Dakota and see a few different schools that you never really get to see. You know, you don't know who they are. They don't know who you are. You just go up there and wrestle hard and see what happens. And it'll be a good competition with Harrisburg to see where we're at and where they're at.
Yeah, and we hope one of the things you're going to find out probably on Monday is that nobody came down with anything, because with all those people up at the Fargo Dome, it's easy to spread some stuff around. But knock on wood that things will be fine that way. And your claim to fame last year is that you were undefeated in Minnesota until the state tournament. So was not too many teams can say that. So
yeah, we're 8-0 right now, so it's pretty. We'll take that going into the new year and hopefully build on that on Friday and Saturday as well.
So just hang on the phone here. When we hang up or send it back to the station, but we'll try to decide how we can do the coaches show next Saturday morning. So thanks for the report. Great job by Team United. I'm sure there'll be some good articles in local papers, maybe even the West Central Tribune or the Marshall paper too, about this accomplishment that Team United had. And best of luck next week, and we'll hear all about it on the coaches show next week as well. That's Hank Ireland on wrestling. We'll take this break and be talking to the basketball coaches from Lacaparo after this.
You'll find quality meat for your family's table at the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. This week, all frozen white wrap meat, 25% off. And Happy New Year from the Country Butcher. They will be closed on Monday, December 30th. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest. Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Doc Skordal celebrated his 90th birthday over in Dawson on the 26th. There will be coffee and goodies in his honor at Grace Lutheran in Dawson this afternoon from 2 to 4. And everybody's invited to come on over and help celebrate. Tomorrow, no VFW brunch at the Appleton VFW. The next VFW brunch there will be on January 28th for the Hegbert 4-H Club. No brunch this weekend. There'll be no worship service Sunday at Saron or Baxter Lutheran Churches. If you're looking for something to do in the Marietta area on New Year's Eve, they're having a New Year's Eve party at the Marietta Fire Hall starting at 4 p.m. You can watch the Vikings-Green Bay game on TV, play some card and board games, and they'll have some available, or bring your own, bring a dish or goodies to share. Non-alcoholic beverages will be available, and that's being sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Days Committee. You're invited over to St. Michael's Catholic Church in Madison on Sunday, 4 p.m. Mass for Holy Day, and then 5 p.m. a meal and clinking of the glasses. The meal will be free will, meatballs, potatoes, gravy, vegetables, salads, dessert spread, and a beverage. Proceeds will be used to help those in need during their visit to San Lucas, Guatemala, coming up January 22nd through the 30th. And that meal at 5 p.m. Sunday, this weekend, at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Madison. Come on over and enjoy. And you can celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison VFW Post 1656 with a New Year's Eve steak fry. They'll have New York strip or barbecued ribs and all the trimmings for just $17. Text or call your reservations in to 320-297-1020. That's 320-297-1020. There's some other things going on over there as well for the New Year celebration.
You want to feel important? You want to be part of something bigger? Something that matters and that you can help change things? You want to feel like you belong. We felt that way too. I'm Sergeant First Class Chris Urick from Glencoe, Minnesota, and that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers. We are people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit nationalguard.com/MN to find out more. Sponsored by Minnesota Army National Guard, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to turn our attention to La Caprile Valley Boys Basketball with head coach Robin Rademacher. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, are you ready for the new year to begin?
Well, you know, for basketball-wise, I'm ready to turn the calendar, and hopefully we've been playing some tough teams, and I think that's going to get us ready for that stretch run when we want to be improving. So, yeah, it's been a fun start to the season. We've had a lot of games. And now we look forward to turning the calendar.
All right. And during the holiday break, you traveled across the border to South Dakota, I understand.
Yeah, we went over there on Thursday and did something a little different. We played an afternoon game. C-Squad started at 2 o'clock. Varsity started at, a little after 4. Little different rules over there. They play the shot clock. They've had that for a long time. But you play quarters again. And that's something I grew up playing. But they still play quarters. So you play 4 quarters. There's no charge, restricted line inside, and then you shoot, no one-on-ones anymore. They do, if you have 5 fouls in a quarter, you, shoot 2 shots, and then it resets after each quarter.
Oh, wow.
Just a little different, things to get used to, but basketball, still basketball.
Right. How long are the quarters?
For varsity, it's 8 minutes. B squad was 7, and C squad is 6. So it really flies along in that C squad game. But the varsity game, you just get four minutes less playing time, but you add 2 timeouts with the quarter breaks in there.
Wow, that's different. So the kids, it's kind of fun for the kids then, I bet, huh?
Got a nice atmosphere. They had a lot of people show up. They got a nice facility over there, and it was fun to compete. They got a very nice basketball team with a lot of length, and that caused some problems early in the game.
All right. Tell us all about it then, Robin.
Well, we end up losing a basketball game 57-46, but early on we came out flat, and that's kind of been our whole story here in 23, is it seems like it takes us a little bit to get going, and we dig our that hole where we're down 8-10, and next thing you know, you're down 15, and it's always like we're climbing that uphill battle, and that was no different again last night. Their length, we started off man-to-man, and that's probably a poor decision on my part, especially I stayed in it a little bit too long before we switched over to a 2-3, and we got ourselves down 10-12 points, and they just were able to exploit some of their mismatches with, you know, they have four guys that they run out that are 6'4 or taller, and they look like basketball players, long and long arms, good athletes, and we just struggled with that. And we go into the locker room, we're down 15 at halftime, and it's like, guys, I know we can do better than this. Our shots weren't falling. They have kind of packed in a 2-3. It wasn't anything overly, you know, aggressive on their part. They just kind of stood back, and they're giving us some shots, and we had some nice looks, and the ball just wasn't going in. And that's basketball, where you don't like that, but we switched, and we decided, hey, let's come out, and we're going to mix it up a little bit in the second half. We come out. We haven't practiced it a lot lately. We played like a 1-2-2 or a 3-2, however you want to call it. And I said, let's just make them work from the outside. And you know what? Really played into our advantage. In that third quarter, all of a sudden, we were chipping away. We had opportunities. Next thing you know, we're down 5. We've skipped off. Our goal is, hey, let's even get it to 8 going in the fourth quarter. We got it down to 5. We held them the first 7 minutes. They never scored. And
wow.
Hey, we're right in there, and we have a couple chances, baskets, and they didn't fall. Next thing you know, the Mertens kid, a player, he gets an and one, and then he finishes the quarter hitting a three-pointer. And we did all that work, and now we're only down. Now we only trimmed it to 11. So we added that 5, and then within 50 seconds, he hits 2 3-pointers, old-fashioned three and a conventional three. And shoot, now we're down 11. We chip away in the fourth quarter, but we just weren't able to overcome it, and then we had to foul. And like I said, the end of the score ended up being 57-46.
Okay, stats on the afternoon?
We shot the ball not terribly, but we only got up 45 shots in the game, and we were 18-45. We were from the three-point line, 4-15. Free throw line, 6-8. We ended up scoring. Leading score on the night was Caden Molden with 20. Davis Batzer had 12. Matt Arndt had 7, and then it just kind of fell off from there. Eli Hagelin had 4, Brock Burial hit a 3-for-3, and then we had Baxter, Payton, and TJ all played but did not score. Rebounding-wise, the difference in the game, obviously, early on was their length. They out-rebounded us on the offensive glass 15-5. That gave them those extra opportunities. And early on, too, they were able to leak out. We'd shoot, and we kind of watched the ball, and they'd send a flyer down and have an outlet pass, and they got some easy baskets early on. But really, we really come back in the second half and took that away from them. So we ended up getting out-rebounded 36-23. And then our turnovers, early on, we had 10 turnovers in the first half, and there were just some silly ones. We were guys just weren't communicating with each other, and just some unforced turnovers. We had 10 turnovers in the first half, and we ended up with 16, so we cleaned that up in the second half with some easy baskets for them on our turnovers. And overall, you know, I was happy. Kids worked hard like they always do. We got some really great kids that are going to go on and do a lot of great things as they get older, but they work hard every game, and they leave it all on the floor. And as a coach, you know, yes, you want the wins, but then I also got to look at, too, hey, we tell our kids, let's go out and compete, work hard, have some fun, and I thought we did that, especially when we started to make that comeback. But we got to figure that out, and we got to work on that as coming out, you know, out of the locker room on an opening tip, making sure we're ready to play right off the get-go. So that's some things we're going to work on, making sure we're ready, you know, so we're not digging that big hole where we always are working uphill.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, the first half, well, yeah, like you said, you played some quality teams before the holiday break here, and looking forward to a good second half here, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and we're getting the kids are playing some different teams. You know, you got a Morris team, a Rockford team, a Milbank team. These are all, you know, class above us type schools, KMS. You had Prinsburg in there and Dawson. You just start rattling off some of those teams that we played early in the season, and I just feel that's got to help us as we keep going through. We're getting some healthy. Our kids getting back healthy again. We got TJ back last night. We're still waiting on Tygan and Carson Bessman to come back with some injuries. So hopefully here we get after the holiday break, and we're ready to go full strength, and that's going to help us moving forward.
Yeah, what are you happy with about your team, Robin? What did you see that – in the first half of the season here?
They compete. You know, they don't get down on themselves. You know, maybe they're frustrated that the shot isn't going, but you know what they do every game, and it travels well, I guess, in any sport. If you look at baseball, you look at football, you look at defense. Defense is always going to play, especially come playoffs. If our shots ain't falling, you can't control that. But you can control your attitude, and you can control your effort. And defensively, we're definitely doing that. And I think once the shots start falling, it's going to make things a lot easier for us, but keep working hard on defense, you know. So that the kids get along. They're nice kids. It's a joy to come back and coach. They're not complaining. They play for each other. And I guess, you know, that's what makes it fun. You know, yes, your X's and O's and your competition is all great, but you know, at the end of the day, go out, work hard, have some fun, make some memories, and that's what the kids are doing.
All right. All right. Anything else on the Milbank game? Did we cover everything there?
Yeah, I think we got it all. Like I said, they're long. They're going to compete. You know, they got a nice basketball team. They're able to do some things, and they're gonna be able to do, you know, make a nice push in their Class A bracket over there. So it was fun to go across. You play in a college-style court. Their court is 10 foot longer than ours and about 4 foot wider. So it's like a college court size. And it's just a good competition when you cross over. It's not a far drive. So, yeah, it was a fun to do, and hopefully we can get them on the schedule next year to come over to our place.
All right, what do you got coming up when after school starts here?
We're off, which is kind of nice. We have a little break here, a few days off of practice. We're going to come back practice Tuesday when the kids start school, and then we got Camby coming to our place on Friday. So just one game next the following week when we come back.
All right, and we'll do that Camby game right here on Q92 on Friday. Looking forward to that. The Lancers, over the holiday break, they won their tournament up north by Detroit Lakes there. They were up in Detroit Lakes area.
Yep, I saw some scores that he competed up there and played some nice teams. I don't know what those teams are like. I have a hard time believing they have the same competition level as we see here down in our part. I don't think there's a tougher section in the state year in and year out than, you know, 3A. So when you play, you get ready, it just gets you ready for the playoffs.
All right, Robin, thanks for the report on the boys this morning.
You bet. You guys have a good holidays and a happy new year to you.
All right. Robin Rademacher, head coach of the Lock Pearl Valley Boys basketball team. We'll take a break. Come back with more to Coach Show after this.
Gisselson Hardware and the Arch Store in Mineota cordially invite you to their 29th annual New Year sale. It's the biggest sale of the year. Monday, January 1st, Gisselson Hardware and the Arch Store will be open 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. 20% off store-wide and 50% off Christmas decor in the Arch Door. That's Gisselson Hardware and the Arch Door's New Year Sale, Monday, January 1st, 9 to 3. Pick up some deer turds or unicorn poop from Big Tuck's Freeze-Dried Candy Company today. They make great stocking stuffers. Some of your favorite candies are on the menu, like Rainbow Crystal Skittles, Jolly Puff Ranchers, Caramel Apple Puffs, and Bit You'll Love These Bit of Honeys. And many, many more freeze-dried candy available from Dan Tuckett at Big Tuck's Freeze-Dried Candy Company. $7 a bag or 4 bags for $25. Candy Party Platters also available. Call Dan today at 320-444-5562. That's 444-5562. Or check out Big Tuck's Candy Company on Facebook.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, showing Friday, December 29th through Monday, January 1st in Theater 1. It's The Shift, rated PG-13. That's a science fiction film, and it was co-produced by Justin Overlander, formerly of Dawson. Justin will be at the Grand on Friday night, the 29th, when the movie opens, to talk a little bit about it before showtime. So come on over for that and say hi to Justin Overlander on Friday night as we show The Shift at the Grand in Madison. In theater number 2, it's Migration, great family film, Migration, rated PG in theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with head coach Dylan Erickson of the Lock Pearl Valley Girls basketball team. And good morning, Dylan.
Hi, good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Good. You ready for the new year to start?
Yeah, we're ready. We're excited to flip the calendar here and start the new year off fresh here, the second half of the basketball season, that's for sure.
A lot of holiday basketball tournaments around the state of Minnesota during the break, isn't there?
There really is. There's some really cool matchups. How, you know, some of these schools get invited to certain ones on certain years, you know, to match them up with, you know, high-level teams. And then there's the local ones or, you know, ones that have been going on for a number of years at different local schools and venues and whatnot. I know we used to, when I was in high school, we used to host our own, actually, too, over the holidays at the holiday tournament out at the high school. So,
yeah, that used to be a pretty big event back in the day, wasn't it?
Yeah, it sure was. Yeah, a couple-day event, and we had a lot of boys and girls teams coming in, and I remember that growing up and then playing it a little bit myself. So, but yeah, as always, basketball seems like going on over the holidays.
That's right. Well, the girls, they've been in the Borsch's holiday tournament for a number of years now, haven't they?
Yeah, ever since I've been in here too. And I know before that, yeah, they always were playing down in Marshall, and it's nice, you know, to get that game or two on the court down there in case you're playing some meaningful basketball down there. It's nice to gain some experience, you know, early on and, you know, get used to the court a little bit and the difference of the baskets and whatnot, you know, not being up against the wall, a little different view behind and things like that. But fortunate the last few years, yeah, we've played a couple games down there, or, you know, had even a non-conference game down there to try to get as much much court time down there as we could. And this year we just had the one game down there over break. We had been playing a couple, and this year we just opted to play one down there. And Marshall was still nice to get on that court, and it's a cool experience to play on that bigger college floor.
How do they match the teams up, do you know, Dylan?
I think maybe it has something to do with the prior season.
Okay.
The teams they get invited are bring in every year, and then they kind of match you up, you know, looking at last year's, because we already knew who we were playing to kind of start the year, which, you know, some of these tournaments, we go to one in South Dakota in a few weeks, and that one is matched up here in a couple weeks. We'll know who we're playing, so we don't even know who we're playing quite yet. But yeah, we got matched up with Buffalo Lake Hector, and coming off of, you know, they had a really, really nice year last year, and us as well. So kind of going off, I think, of some of last year's stuff too, is how they match you up.
Gotcha. And Buffalo Lake Hector Stewart come in, I believe they're state ranked, right?
Yeah, top, you know, depending on what you look at, pace setter, you know, the Minnesota Scores app, things like that, they're number 5 to 7, kind of where they been sitting most of the year, and they've had a tough schedule. They played Mountain Iron, who's the number one team in Class A, and some teams like that that they've already faced themselves. So, a really nice team they are.
All right. I believe when you play that on Wednesday, was it?
Yeah, Wednesday night. We had almost a primetime game right before, you know, the Marshall High School takes the late game, you know, with their big crowd comes in, and we kind of had the lead up to that one, as you can say, I guess. And we knew coming in that they would be really good. They lost one player from last year's team. It's pretty much it. That's redshirt at SMSU, actually. She was a really good player. But they have two twin sister guards back as seniors. They're both going to go play at St. Cloud State next year in the NSIC. And then they got a sophomore guard that's just as good as they are. She's going to be playing in college somewhere in the next couple or in a few years. So really nice trio guards there. And then they have another experienced senior guard on the wing that can shoot the ball pretty at a high rate. And then so a little size of 5'9", 5'10", girl that kind of plays her role and rebounds and does a lot of nice things under the basket for them that kind of opens things up. And she does a good job using her body and getting herself in spots to score easy at the rim when everyone's flying out at all those shooters and spacing the floor out. So they can come at you from all angles, and they did. And they came in waves on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. They started out, they come out in a, you know, a full court, kind of 2-2-1 look press, and kind of forced up the sidelines. And then once you got in the half court, we did a good job. After the first 2-3 possessions, call a timeout, we get ourselves in a hole, 8-0. You know, one of the twin sisters comes out and knocks down a big three right away, and they turn us over, get something in transition, and then come down and hit another three. So they're up 8-0 just like that. It's exactly what we didn't want to have happen, is have them come out firing all cylinders and trying to run them off the line as best we could and force them into the paint where we have some length and, you know, and at least give up a two if we're instead of giving open wide open threes. So hard closeouts there and trying to get them off the line and guard the line best we could. We didn't do a good job to start the game. And then we turned the ball over a couple times to start, and then we kind of settled in a little bit, you know, and as far as the press goes. We get to half court, and then we kind of dribble ourselves into a tight spot, and they really, really, really overplayed just about every passing lane and doubled everything they could, almost, you know, in their future, maybe to a fault. It might be they get too aggressive that way, but we just did not handle you know, having over 30 turnovers again for the night, and you know, we just didn't handle that. You know, the full court was fine. It was a half court thing. We didn't get ourselves reversed out of it and dribble ourselves into tough spots, and just kind of all out of sorts and in that longer court. And you know, on our missed shots, they were leaking out, and they can run the court at a high level, and they got out and ran on us. And so they, again, with the turnovers in the first half and them shooting the ball really well in the first half. I look here, they made eight threes in the first half.
Wow.
So again, that's a lot of points right there. And yep. You know, we got to some closeouts and got contested at some spots, but again, sometimes we just didn't close out hard enough and get them off the line, and they let them get comfortable there. And so again, we go into half then up are down 48-6. Again, their defense is just tons and tons of pressure and relentless and overplayed everything, and we couldn't get the ball reversed out, and we didn't get capitalized. You know, we had chances at the rim and some decent looks. We just didn't capitalize, and just weren't super aggressive. You know, we kind of played tentative to their pressure, and we played, you know, played a half court, seemed like, all night, and nothing got aggressive towards the rim, and it shows. You know, we only shot four free throws, and so it shows you we didn't put a ton of pressure on their defense in the middle of the paint in the lane, and have to make them guard us, you know, all the way. And so that was a bummer. And then the second half, again, their pressure and shooting the ball well to come out of half. And they made another, what, four or five threes in the second half again before kind of we hit the running time mark. And, yeah, they took care of business like they were supposed to, like a top five ranked teams should. And they ended up beating us 78-21. And, yeah, put us away early, and we never looked back. And, yeah, just a really nice team. You know, there was times offensively it was like putting on a clinic for them. They'd make us rotate two, three times, and they'd still make the extra pass, and they'd get in wide open shots and layups. And it was from my angle, too, is at times, to be honest, it was fun to watch. I mean, they play so well together, and the basketball moves and doesn't stick, and they get their feet in the paint, and it's a lot of inside out, and then all of a sudden they're hitting you with a layup. And so, again, just you can tell they've played so much basketball together, and, you know, having mostly everybody back from last year, and you have two, three guards like that that can play at that high level. And understand the game and the passing abilities they have. It makes a lot easier for the other couple playing with them, and then it makes it really hard on the defense to try to corral them for us. So, again, we've had a really nice, really good schedule and a tough schedule to start the year, which is what we want. We don't want to play, you know, we want to play good teams game in and game out, and we've definitely seen that in the first half. But I think, you know, as we go forward here in the second half of the season, we got a lot more competitive games, hopefully, in the near future, and things we can learn from and hopefully grow and keep taking steps forward for the future.
Okay. Do you want to run through some of the stats? Or?
Sure, okay. I can. Again, there's not, as you see the score, it wasn't a ton. I guess we didn't put ourselves in a lot of positions to have an assist to score a bucket, you know, and things like that. And, you know, a lot of shots, they went up. They got their second, third, fourth opportunities on it, too, and so our rebounding stats just aren't there either, and, you know, as a game in total. But that's a high-level team. And so, yeah, it's leading us in scoring. Callie Kahn had 8 points, a couple rebounds, 2 assists, and then she made our 2 free throws for the night. Again, just not putting enough pressure on the rim for him and making us guard. Andy Doctor came in the second half and had a couple buckets late with 5 rebounds. Brandy Meyer as well came in a couple buckets late in the second half and had 4 points and a couple steals to go along with it. And then Kendall Shelsa hit a 3 out of half, had 3 points, 2 rebounds, and 2 assists. And then Kaya Kranz had a bucket for us as well, a few rebounds, an assist, and a steal, and a couple blocks. Again, Jalen Lee had a couple assists, rebound, and a block for us again. She's still coming back from the sickness that's been keeping her down a little bit, doesn't have the wind back quite yet, and just not physically where she wants to be. So hopefully we get her back in the next week here with a bunch of games coming up, get her back completely healthy and get her playing at a higher level again and being more consistent for us where she should be.
Okay.
Jada Kessler came in and played some nice minutes, and Kayla Jan had an assist and a couple rebounds and a couple of steals, and same with Zoe Doctor, played some in the first and second half for us and did a really nice job. I like the minutes she's been giving us, you know, the last few games. adding some depth, and she just comes in and works really hard and is asking a lot of questions and learning and growing that way, and giving us a lot off the bench, so I'm really liking what I see out of that too as well. So yeah, she had a rebound and a block and made a lot of nice plays and forced some turnovers for them. So yeah, overall, you know, just, you know, it's steps forward. You got to find the positives in these things, and we will, and keep growing and moving forward, because there are a lot of positives coming out of them with the experience we're gaining and whatnot. So and we'll just keep working.
All right, what do you got coming up when school resumes then?
Yeah, so we had a nice couple of days, or a day of practice after, you know, to kind of get back in the, we had Friday off, and then, yeah, Monday we're going to have practice on the 1st, and then I know junior high plays right away on Tuesday and Thursday, and then they go to a tournament Saturday in Marshall, so they got a really busy week. And then for ourselves, we also have a very, very busy week. Well, towards the end of the week, we play Thursday, we go to Canby. Friday, we go to Montevideo, and then we turn around right away Monday, and Lakeview comes to Lac Parle. So we go quite a stretch there with three games in 4 days, so 4 or 5 days there. So, yeah, we had an interesting schedule. You know, you play a game, and then you play three and kind of spread them out, and now we get a little cluster of them together. So, yeah, but we'll play who's in front of us, and, again, a lot of competitive games coming up for us. So looking forward to that.
All right, real good, Dylan. Appreciate the report on the girls' team, and best of luck this coming week then.
You bet. Thanks, Paul, and go Eagles.
Dylan Erickson, head coach of the Lac Parle Valley girls' basketball team. We'll take a break, come back with more of the Coach's Show after this. Paul Ramel here for Q92 Sports. The holiday break is over, and this Tuesday night we'll have girls' basketball for you. It's a non-conference game when the Montevideo Thunderhawks travel to Dawson to take on the Blackjacks, 7:30 tip-off. That's Tuesday night from Dawson Boyd High School, the Blackjacks and the Thunderhawks in girls basketball. Tune in.
If you're considering a career in healthcare, consider Madison Healthcare Services. Right now they have several job opportunities. They're looking for a medical lab technician with a $9,000 sign-on bonus, registered nurse for the hospital with a $9,000 sign-on bonus. They're in need of a resident assistant, HHA, certified nursing assistants with a $5,000 sign-on bonus, certification assistants available. They're looking for an LPN or RN for the care center with a $9,000 sign-on bonus. Madison Healthcare Services believes high-quality patient care begins with their staff. They're looking for you. Madison Healthcare Services is an equal opportunity provider and employer. Contact Human Resources with questions at 320-598-7551. Stop in person at 900 2nd Avenue in Madison. Online, go to mhsmn.org, click on careers. For all the information you need to get your career going at Madison Healthcare Services.
At Heartland Motor Company, we take you beyond the Chevrolet brand to a hometown sales experience. With industry-wide knowledge, stress-free sales, and our lifetime warranty, the Heartland Advantage, we make it our goal to take care of you on day one or for years to come. But we don't stop there. We take care of our hometown by generously donating to many local groups and organizations. When you choose us, it's not just a Chevy. You get a Heartland Chevrolet. Learn more at heartlandmotor.com.
Find new roads at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show. Another nice Coach's Show with great results from the Team United in wrestling, and both Robin Rademacher for boys basketball and Dylan Erickson for girls basketball. Well, with school starting again on Tuesday, then we start picking up activities throughout the rest of the winter season. And Paul Ramel and myself will be doing some athletic events in the next couple of weeks until state tournament and section tournaments begin. So I'm going to close out the 2023 season with three Dick Newman sick jokes of the week. Number one, when does a joke become a dad joke? When it becomes apparent, APPARENT, apparent. Why are elevator jokes so classic and good? Well, they work on many levels. And then finally, the main function of your little toe on your foot is to make sure all the furniture in the house is in the right place. Otherwise, you know you stubbed that little toe, don't you? Well, thanks for listening. Tune in again next year to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.